Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Story Break, the spatially separated writer's room podcast where three Hollywood professionals from the comfort of their own homes write an entire screenplay, scene by scene, page by page, 1 week at a time. My name is Freddie Wong, and I am finally broadcasting without pants in the comfort of my bedroom. The goal we all have been striving for.
The dream. I'm Will Campos, coming at you from a cozy bathrobe this episode. I'm doing that leisure casting, leisure podcast.
Oh.
I'm Matt Arnold, and I'm doing this straight from the throne. Pants up,
no,
pants
you're
down.
Not. You're not.
Going to the bathroom.
No, you're yep. not.
Sorry, no. If you guys all hear some dirty noises while this goes on.
Yuck. Man, like people want an escape from their problems in this troubling time, not more problems when they are picturing that.
Hey, tummy troubles is not going to stop me from podcasting.
Oh, so. My God.
No, I'm just sitting here backed into my closet so that I can get the best sound quality possible.
All right. Sounds good.
If I have to take care of my tummy time problems, I'll pause the podcast. Don't worry, everybody. Don't worry, everybody. You won't have to experience that.
No, please stop. We promise that that's not going to happen. Ugh. Tell me, Will, where were we in terms of this script?
Well, so first of all, this script is called Heaven Heist. It's a story about a crew of criminals heisting the celestial vault of Asian heaven. I always forget to say Asian heaven. I think we just dropped it and it's just heaven in general.
Who's to say, right?
So anyway, it's about a crew of criminals heisting the celestial vault of heaven. And last week, we introduced our wonderful new character on page 95 of the script named Yama, who's the... As is storytelling tradition, the king of hell who caught wind to the caper our boys and girls are up to and decided to throw a literal wrench into the work. So last we saw, Miss Wonderful had just seen Whiskey speeding off towards parts unknown with a bunch of medical supplies, and she followed him in suspicion. Whiskey doesn't know he's been followed, so it feels like, and I feel like we say this every episode, it feels like it's time to do this heist, guys.
It feels like it's time to do the heist. Just to remind us, what are the steps of the heist?
Okay, so to walk through the plan. So basically, the plan is they get in, they use the grappling hooks to get onto Whoopsie, and sneak over the wall into heaven proper, at which point they're going to rob the Hell's Fargo stagecoach and ride that to Sai Shen's party, where, you know, I think B-Team is like, you know,
scouting and prepping the whole to hell.
Yes.
Or they split up when they get into heaven, and then one half of them is making dumplings for Tai Shen's party,
mm-hmm.
and the other half is robbing the stagecoach of Hell's Fargo.
Yes, and then so I feel like there's probably already a bunch of dumplings in the freezer or something like
yeah.
that.
They divide into, if you will, cooks and crooks.
Cooks and crooks. Oh, I like that. That's a good title for the episode.
Ooh.
So the cooks are setting up, and then when the crooks rob the shit, they meet up and they swap trucks. They got to smuggle this gold into Sai Shen's party somehow, and then they're yeah. going to secrete it away into the miracle portal.
Now, what's the plan? Because, you know, in any good heist movie, like, there's details of the plan that we're not seeing. How are they getting the gold in? Are they going to wrap them up in a bunch of dumplings? Like, what is the...
We had talked about on a previous episode that Sai Shen would have, like, a loading bay in the backyard, and the timing would be, like, because that's where, like, the cocktails are held, and then when everybody goes inside... Then they could drive to like the back door that's closest to the portal. Cause yeah, then when they get there, they probably, you know, they probably hide the gold in like dumpling packs or, you know, in like their food boxes in order to get behind the past the guard in the back door.
Ooh, I got an idea. So yes, they should wrap them up in dumplings because we've seen kind of like a smash and grab robbery. What if they like infiltrate the Hell's Fargo wagon and they get the gold out without the demons knowing? So it buys them more time because it's once the demons get to hell that they realize they've been robbed.
Yeah, but I feel like the fun of it is that the heist goes really good, you know, nice and clean, and then it goes wrong.
Yes, that's true. Yeah.
I feel like the first thing that happens when they get back to heaven is they have to pay grandma's because, you know, because she disappeared, so they have to pay her bills.
Oh, they didn't pay the rent?
They cut off the electricity, so all their dumplings are spoiled. They had like 1,000 frozen dumplings in the refrigerator. I don't know. Maybe they like made them the night before, you know, and now because the electricity is cut off. They're all spoiled rotten or something. I don't know. Just something they could deal with at the beginning.
A lot of these heists, right, they always start smooth and then partway through it gets bad, right? Right away they blow a tire on the way to the fucking casino in Ocean's 11. You know what I mean?
True, true.
See, but Freddie, you're forgetting the fact that anytime Matt and I write an action sequence, we basically write it as if the main character was Octodad and he fucks absolutely everything up all the time.
No, you're right. It should start super smooth. You know, they open the refrigerator, they take the dumplings out to taste them. Just absolutely just perfect dumplings. Then they toss those bad boys in the truck and they all hop in, and then cool Bourne music starts playing. The heist is just going perfectly.
And then the crooks split off. They have a plan in terms of like doing a car heist on this thing using maybe a small network of Vespa scooters or whatever to like disconnect the wheels or like swap it out or drain it from the back maybe or something.
Oh, this is good. This is good. This is good. Something else we should do, because we have not played this card yet. We haven't hinted at it and it will be very cool, is the start of this heist should be them burning gear, that little origami of gear.
Very cool.
So like
very
you see them
cool.
set like a fold out submachine gun and like a motorcycle.
But it's like little origami.
Yeah. I mean, you're like, what the fuck are they going to do with all this stuff? And then
cool.
What's great is here's the next step is when they get on Whoopsie, they're pulling all of that gear out of
yes.
Whoopsie's
perfect,
whole thing.
Perfect. So good.
That's so good. Cause they got to find the stuff in Whoopsie.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because then before you'd have this intense beat where, you know, they're digging around looking for that key thing. You know, something to break the brakes on that Wells Fargo wagon
or something. And they're like, oh, God, and last second.
Yeah, because then they all jump down into the, you know, Lake of Enlightenment pond or whatever. And, you know, then if Brandy or Cognac needs to get this last thing, they can't jump down till then. They're stuck up there.
Oh, that's cool. Yes. Well, because then you do the last thing they have to find is all five of their wings.
I mean, they probably jump into the pond since we established that.
That's true. Or they ride motorcycles off of Whoopsie into the pond or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I definitely like the motorcycles. We got to find a way for them to use like two of them for the Wells Fargo heist.
The heist.
Because then another really easy thing to do would be, we have to set it up in a previous scene, but like when Jin comes in with his trophy, everybody else is probably working on origami. You know, working on the paper mache things, you know, the various items.
And you're like,
what
the fuck are they doing?
Yeah, it's
some hobby that they've taken up or what? No. They're planning. That's great.
That's super cool. Okay, and that's a really great image to start, because I feel like this is a montage, right? And it feels like this is a great image to start it off with, is you just cut to like little origamis being set down on a thing.
Agreed.
And then maybe it's as they're doing that and they're all synchronizing their watches, they're like, where the hell is Whiskey? And Whiskey comes in like, oh, really nervous. Like, is everything okay? What happened? Like, yeah, nothing happened. We're fine. Don't worry about it. Let's get started. It's like that's kind of your start, your watches, as they all burn their items and then they get put under.
Yes.
And I think a good way to think about the scene, or at least what we tackle today or this episode, but I think you can treat it kind of, it's similar to the first heist they have, you know, where they steal the currency. I mean, there's obviously a lot of stuff to figure out still like along the way, but it feels like maybe the first step or where we get up to is whatever the turn is that messes them up while they're trying to steal the Hell's Fargo wagon. Because that's kind of more or less equivalent to, you know, the cops finding mm-hmm. their car after the heist. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because as you said, there's quite a bit. But, you know, with the heist and then, you know, with Miss Wonderful, you probably want to have Whiskey while he's putting them under. Maybe you see Miss Wonderful pop her head up, so you're cross-cutting. I don't know, you know, like Miss Wonderful and her guys are like wondering what the hell they're doing. We'll figure out how to bring Miss Wonderful into it. But anyways, then you'll have this intense scene where they, you know, go up Whoopsie and then they're digging through the gold to get the whatever the items they need. And then the team split up and you're probably cross-cutting between them. But then, you know, the heist is going slick. It looks cool. They're doing a good job at Tai Shen's house, pretending to be waiters. The heist with the Hell's Fargo van's going well. But then something, you know, happens. The turn again at the Wells Fargo van. We'll figure it out exactly what we come up with in terms of how they, you know, fight the demons or whatever it is in there. But they do barely make it, and then, you know, we show them getting there just in time. But unfortunately, whatever the complication was, you know, also means that now the heist is up in the air for whatever reason.
Okay, so a couple thoughts leap out at me. So one, it feels like the wrinkle for the car chase should be the traffic.
Oh, yeah. True.
You would almost want it to be the exact same thing that happened before, where like one of them throws something and it just hits this woman and she's just standing on the street, and then she looks at them and they look at her and they're like, oh shit. And then what you can do is like, because they're on motorcycles, she just tackles one of them off. So now she's literally chasing them, or she's got a delivery bike or whatever she's doing. Like you can have her like, maybe she took
an easy plan. I mean, I don't know if this makes sense, but like, you know, since she's seen them before, maybe the plan is like they're doing something super smooth with these demons and they look like them, or because, you know, they like knock them out with gas and whatever. They have like masks, demon masks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then, you know, they get up to like this checkpoint and they think they're so slick and they got their demon masks on. And then, right before they're about to get through, who's that? The traffic cop. And she recognizes them or something. I don't know.
Yeah. It feels like you would do something like that. And now they're getting chased all over town by this traffic cop. Right.
Yes.
And then, you know, maybe angels are kind of catching wise. Like, what the fuck's going on? Right. Like, it feels like what you would want in terms of this being interconnected as well is that you would want like the thing that's going on at the party. The complication is that the truck with the gold hasn't arrived yet and they're going to like miss their window or get caught if they don't make their move.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like you would want to do like that. Sai Shen is giving like a long, boring toast, right? And like it's as he's doing the toast is when they need to sneak into his room to dump the gold.
Yes, absolutely.
And so then you can have also the fun of his speech or whatever. And they're like, shit, like he's wrapping up. Like what the hell's going on? They're not here yet.
Yeah. And then, you know, Tai Shen, he's like finishing up his speech and everybody's getting ready to the back room or whatever. And I don't know. I was just thinking, like, if you could think of a way you could get Jin, I don't know. You want Jin to be there as in you want him at Tai Shen's place because, you know, there's family dumplings. But we did establish these rad motorcycles. So I don't know. I was just trying to think of how you get Jin on the motorcycle at this dinner party or something. It doesn't make any sense. But like, I don't know. Maybe like everybody's getting ready to go because the timing's running out. But Jin's, you know, going to... Because, you know, he could just surprise them with like some dope circus tricks on a motorcycle or I don't know.
Circus tricks on a motorcycle.
Okay, maybe we don't need him on a motorcycle. But wait, you know, no, like that. The beginning of that movie, that weird Ryan Reynolds movie where he's like doing the motorcycle
trick. Ryan Gosling. Place Beyond the Pines.
Yeah, that's it. That movie's pretty boring. But that beginning's pretty cool. But I don't know. It's just like there's like a big statue of the earth like in the middle of the table or something. I don't know. Tai Shen's like holding up the earth above his head like Atlas and then he pops his motorcycle into it. I don't know. Whatever. We don't need to do it.
Matt's thought about this. Like Matt's like he's in like a Thunderdome thing inside a motorcycle and then it's fucking rad. It's at least 500 cc's. I never knew Matt was such a motorcycle junkie, huh, Will?
Oh, yeah.
Motorhead.
Matt's riding that crotch rocket every weekend. He's got a Kawasaki.
Dude, he's like a ninja.
That's why
he's
can't
like,
have any more kids. This is the only one.
You should see these pictures we have. We'll post them on the social of Matt going sideways, dragging his knee around Santa Monica Mountains.
Yeah, I'm pretty dope.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Okay, anyways, ignore all that. We'll get him on a motorcycle for something. I feel like he probably like motorcycles into hell. I feel like he does like a big jump into the abyss, you know, to get away from the angels. Anyways, let's talk specifically about how they get caught.
Yeah.
I feel like that's like the main thrust of this. Yeah. I like this like little tension that we've added, you know, with them having to get the tools when they're up in Whoopsie's pit or whatever. And they're digging around in the gold and Whoopsie stuff, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. Scrooge McDuck style. And they're all, you know, diving into the lake. And then you have the last person, you know, like Brandy or whoever it is, you know, trying to find the last thing that.
You know how they could do it is instead of all the items being loose, they fold all of these paper things and they put it inside the trunk of like a BMW origami. So all they have to do is find the car and pop the trunk and inside the car. You know what I'm saying? So it's not just loose items everywhere. They all know it's in a car, which is a nice and big thing that they can find.
They drive like the car off?
They don't necessarily drive the car off. They don't have to.
I don't know. It feels like it's not only is it more suspenseful, but it feels like it's like a fun way to introduce each
tool.
Yeah,
I kind of want to. It seems weird that like you'd see the little origamis one by one, and do they then put all the origamis like in an origami trunk of an origami BMW?
Yeah, dude, I would do it. That's how I'd do it, bro.
No, I mean, it probably makes more sense. But if you do it individually, you can have them, you know, jump up and be like, "I got my brake cutters," and then somebody else jumps up and be like, "I got this, I got this," and then the last person is, you know, like, "Oh shit," and you find the, you know, let's just say brake cutters again, the brake cutters, and you know, it's Brandy or Kanye.
But Matt, did someone fold a shitty origami and now they have a big old lopsided set of like snippers or something? And it's like, oh, this one's all lopsided and heavy.
You didn't use your thumbnail to crease the folds, did you?
You know, I didn't think it was necessary.
It should be like bolt cutters, like the big bolt cutters. And it's like, oh, Whiskey folded this. And they're just big,
just
stupid,
like a derpy,
just useless.
Just a derpy set of bolt cutters.
Ah, damn it. Whiskey just folded a crane and it's just a bird.
Oh, absolutely. As they're diving in, the crane just flies out and is not explained.
Yeah, you just show, like, as they're burning them all or whatever, Whiskey throws in his origami crane or by accident. That's pretty
very
good.
Very goofy.
I like it.
They burn the origami, right? And then you cut to, I think we've seen how they get onto Whoopsie. So I think you just do that. You see the little grappling hooks go over the edge and they climb up. They are digging through the gold.
They get their stuff.
Yes.
There's a brief scare.
The tension is basically like, you know, are they going to be able to get there before Whoopsie drops the gold into the bank? And then, you do the last one is like Jin's shooting out on a motorcycle or whatever. And then, okay, so now they're all in heaven. They've got all their gear. So now we're like, okay, it's go time, right? So then, okay, so.
Yeah, again, I mean, this is the part where you're going to have the fun, right? This is the Ocean's Eleven, and this is where it's slick and fun and everything's going well. Everybody's, you know, super nicely dressed and it's going smooth. You probably split up the team. So let's just split up the teams. You probably have Jin and Cognac are doing the dinner.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, that'll work. And then, so the two of them, you know, they're all fancy and they come in with a dumpling truck.
Mm-hmm.
They come in all suave and sophisticated. And, you know, Tai Shen probably takes a taste of their dumpling. It's like, oh, yeah, just as good as I remember them. You know, come on in. And then you're cross cutting that with Brandy and Tequila, who are checking on their accounts or whatever. They're going to open an account.
Well, they're probably staking out the outside of the bank because they're waiting for the Hells Fargo. Right. So they're probably,
they're going to tail it.
Oh, yeah. That's true. They're probably to be a couple on a bridge or whatever.
Yeah.
Something like that.
They got binoculars and they're waiting to see the thing. Right. Or you do. Yeah. Something like that. Yeah. And then they see the little goblins arrive and pull up to the bank.
Yes.
What time's the heaven bus?
Yeah. I just think the important thing is that, you know, they look cool as hell. You know, it's this whole jazzy sequence and everybody's just doing a good job and they all look super cool. And you're like, man, I wish I was them. You know, with the latest suits or, you know, whatever the hottest whatever the fashion company that's paying for us, you know, like James Bond or Kingsman, just sexy outfits.
They're wearing their Indochino suits with their movement watches and sunglasses.
And they're resting on their Casper mattress on top of a bridge or.
God. All that makes sense. The real question to me comes down to, one, how much gold are they going to take?
A lot.
Right, but like, question number one, are they taking the entire stagecoach, or are they like, we need X amount, and we're taking X amount?
I mean, I think what the plan should be, or what the goal should be, and you'll see this as you're doing the cross-cutting, I think what they could do is just bear with me. I think they have two trucks, and, you know, we'll figure out how they get them, but Grandma had, you know, two dumpling trucks, and they're going to drive. One of them is empty, and the other's group is driving it with all the dumplings, and they are Cognac drives the empty truck and leaves it underneath like a bridge or whatever, and then hops into Jin's truck, and then the heist is they're going to steal the gold and then drive it to this dumpling truck and transfer the gold into that dumpling truck and then drive it over to Tai Shen's into the backyard, and then they're just going to transfer all the gold. Oh, yeah, because what you could have done is the empty dumpling truck was actually full of, like, empty boxes, like Mama Dumplings boxes or whatever. And then while Jin's driving, the other one's, like, putting all the gold into the boxes or whatever so that they're all hidden by the time they get to Tai Shen's. And then when they get there, they can just bring, you know, the gold inside those boxes just straight into the, you know, the prayer area or.
Why do they need two trucks?
Because they still have to get dumplings to Tai Shen's house.
Okay, so, yeah. This is the one part, because there is a world where you don't do any intercutting, right? Like, there is a world where they're all together for the whole thing. Like,
yeah, it seems to make more sense that, like, step one is to intercept the Hell's Fargo. They pull, like, a fucking decal off of a truck, and it reveals that they're dumplings, and then, right? Like, that's the plan, at least.
Because then, essentially, what you do is they get all the gold into the truck, and then they are wrapping pieces of gold in dumplings, which is extremely silly. Or, again, they're, like, stuffing them under, like, those little rolls. Holy carts, right? And then
it feels like the carts. They'd be the carts.
So nobody's setting up at Tai Shen's. Their plan is that they will all together arrive first at Tai Shen's.
Yeah, with the stuff.
Yeah, with everything ready
to
go.
And then, they know that the time they're supposed to show up, they have a specific time that they know that they're supposed to bring the dumplings. Because, yes, they'll be like, Tai Shen gives some big toast at the cocktail party or whatever, and then once he's done with the toast, then, you know, everybody goes to the show or whatever, some nice thing. So, you know, it's classic wedding planning. You know, everybody's out in one area and they're having cocktails and they go off into the ceremony, and while they're off at the ceremony, you know, the team comes in and changes the cocktail area into, you know, the dinner or whatever. So during that transition is when they're supposed to show up.
If you were going to intercut and you would do that, Jin and Cognac are setting up tables and, you know, doing other caterer stuff at Sai Shen's, and you can kind of play that tension of like, when's the food going to be here? We're starving. Although, like, they're obviously not going to feed these people gold dumplings. I'm trying to think of the...
I mean, I think you can do it either way. Either way will be cool. It's just structurally, they need to be kind of the same. When something goes wrong, it needs to go wrong for both groups.
Yes.
Sure. So if you're going to do it as, you know, one group, it's like, yeah, I mean, it can look cool. I mean, it's a fucking heist. You can make any heist thing look cool with the right editing and music and whatnot. One plan is they're just all together. And then, you know, they grab this Hell's Fargo truck and they steal all the gold, transfer it into the dumpling truck, and then show up at Tai Shen's. And instead of bringing dumplings, they transfer this gold into the portal. And then they're, you know, they're going to get pulled out by whiskey. And then when it goes wrong, they're just going to all be in this car chase. Or you do this cross-cutting thing and, you know, you have one side is at Tai Shen's and they're acting like waiters and they're trying to make sure everything's going according to plan and make sure that the back gate's open in time for the other group in order for them to get the gold through the back door or whatever. I mean, which personally I kind of like just in terms of, I don't know, it just feels a little slick and cool that you have these two teams synchronized or whatever. The only hard part is, like, because what you'd want is, I mean... What you'd want is when the heist goes wrong for the team that's stealing the gold, you don't want the other team to just be sitting there or, I mean, you could, but I don't know. You want some sort of complication
they
at
need
Tai
to be Shen's doing
house.
Something,
it
right?
can't just be them. Yeah, you need something.
So for one, I forgot we did plant what the complication would be with the goblins, which is that they don't realize the goblins can turn like 20 feet tall.
Yeah.
So, true. We can do that. And then what you can do is that the traffic cop lady can be at the party. And
oh,
then
that's
Jin
better.
Is trying to avoid her at the party because he's going around with a plate of dumplings, serving dumplings to all these gods, right? Like they've got to maintain the facade of being like they're serving dumplings. You know, so, you know, he's serving dumplings, you know, cognacs in the back, cooking them up. And she's checking, like, where the fuck is our second truck? Like, what's going on? Like, we did our part. We're in. You know, we can get you guys in now, right?
Yeah. No, because what's cool with that is that to give Cognac something fun to do is you'd have her, like, see the traffic cop or the traffic cop sees her and she's like, oh, shit. So then she's got to, like, you know, tie up the traffic cop or whatever or, like, you know, hide her in a closet. But then the cop is just, like, you know, running around kind of, like, parasite level, like, you know, just trying to get it, trying to tell on them. And, you know, Cognac's is... trying to keep the party going, but trying to stop this cop from telling on them.
I definitely feel like given that Jin is the one who threw the phone at the cop, I feel like you want to definitely play Jin face to face with her as well. But she's definitely a fun obstacle for both of them. It's kind of like whack-a-mole. Like they keep trying to hide her or do whatever, right? And like she's like trying to expose them. Like that's a fun bit to play with them for sure.
Okay. So then here's an easy, well, I mean, not an easy thing, but like here's something you could do. So they don't know why Tequila and Brandy are not here yet, but you know the clock is ticking, and we're you know quickly approaching the time where they would open the gate or whatever to let them in here. And, you know, we'll figure out the logistics of whatever the exact same thing is, but let's just say for the sake of it right now, Tai Shen, when he's going to call for cocktail hour, mm-hmm. the moment Tai Shen calls for cocktail hour, they're pretty much screwed because they're not going to be able to bring the truck in there when everybody's out there for cocktail hour. Because, you know, it'd ruin the aesthetics of the party or whatever for the servers to carry food. Not to mention, you know, you can't just carry all this heavy ass gold from the front door all the way through the house or whatever. But anyways, they don't know. And then, you know, this cop is screwing them all up or whatever. And let's just say, you know, I mean, yeah, it might be Jin, but let's just for the sake of it, let's just say Cognac's the one who's messing with her. So it's left to Jin to try to delay Sai Shen from calling this cocktail hour, you know, while she's taking care of the cop. Mm-hmm. So then I just wonder if you could do like he asks Sai Shen like, hey, you know, you like my dumplings and, you know, you're a deity. That's pretty cool. I was wondering, like, could you show me how, you know, this whole thing works or whatever? I don't know. Maybe not. I'm just trying to think if there's a way to find if there's a way to get seeing his brother in this moment. And that becomes the complication here. You know, he like correctly delays Tai Shen and everything seems going well. But then, you know, he sees his brother not praying for money, but for his own soul.
I think that that's what the whole thing builds up to. But
yeah,
that's
the overall complication.
Yeah, that's like totally. The kind of final stinger, I think, is like there.
Well, is that really the stinger or is that the halfway point of the heist? Because there's still like the whole what are they going to do, you know, after all
that's
this
the end of the heist as we know it, because to me, the arc of it is it's complication, They barely get everything in place and they think they got it. And then this is the last bit where it's like, oh, shit. it was all for nothing because
then all hell breaks loose.
Yeah.
I would cut from like Jin's stunned face as he's watching his brother do this prayer. They're screwed now, right? Because they can't give him the money. And it's like, oh shit, what do we do? And then the cop, you know, the traffic cop bound and gagged to a chair has managed to scoot her way to an alarm and, you know, triggers it with her teeth and the whole place goes on to lockdown and they've got to just fucking run.
Yes. And then they're on the run, but that's a pretty quick sequence because they got to get thrown to hell almost right away, right? It's not going to be a long sequence of them like running from heaven cops and staying away from the law. It's going to be they're caught in pretty short order.
Think about the heist in Heat, the big heist in Heat. What we've just described is everything up to the alarm has been tripped. And then the second half is the huge gunfight as they're desperately trying to escape, right? Like that's classic heist gone wrong structure.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying we're necessarily even going to do all of this today, but what we just laid out is the first half of that. Then you have the big turn where all hell breaks loose and now they're desperately trying to escape. And then the turn of that sequence is Whiskey is dead. They all get caught and thrown in hell.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the thing. It just feels like it all centers around, or it's all about the timing of how do they see, the thing to figure out is how do they see that the brother's praying for his soul instead of the money? And how does that moment actually play into the heist? Like, what's the actual, like, are they about to toss the money in and then they see it and it doesn't work? Yeah, I mean, like, why don't they just toss it in and
hope for the best?
Yeah. I mean, maybe they do. Maybe they just see it and they just try to...
I think they do, and then they see it's not going to the right place. Yeah, it's all for naught. Yeah, and they get caught.
Here's something you can do to make that work. He does the prayer, and then they try to dump the money, but it just bounces off of the portal like it's hard glass. Like, it won't go through the portal because it's not what he prayed for.
Oh, yeah, that's really good. You know what
I mean? So then they're like, shit.
I mean, it doesn't matter because, to me, I feel like this is a heist movie trope, but the way they get the money in the end is another way that we've planted, right? It could be that they figure out, right? It's another method now.
I mean, we'll figure it out. It feels like the end, it doesn't feel like they get caught and go to hell because then it feels like you're setting up for another heist sequence. Like, they get into hell, they have to break out and find the money again or whatever. So bear with me again. It feels like the moment is, you know, miraculously they actually pull off and it feels like they're going to do everything, right? It's like Tai Shen is doing his toast and is away and they've gotten the money and the cop is gagged. They toss the gold and it doesn't go in, but they keep trying to toss it even though they're like, oh shit, it's not working. But then, you know, they hear people clapping and guards coming. And they say, oh, shit. And, you know, then they just take all the money and they, you know, they barely escape. Exactly how we do, we don't know. But they barely escape and they all get back in the truck or whatever. And now they're getting chased by Tai Shen and angels.
Yeah.
Right. And now they're driving through heaven with a truck full of gold, but, you know, nowhere to go.
See, I don't know if you need that final beat of Whiskey's dead. I think to me, you get it plenty with they try to dump the gold in. It's glass. Oh, shit. The alarm goes off. Now what?
And now
that's
they're running
right there.
Yes. Yeah, and then to me.
Yeah, that's fine. If we don't even know that we want whiskey or how we want whiskey yet, then yeah. Let's not do it right now. That's not my
point. No, save that. Yeah. Save that for, save that for later. We don't know when that card is.
Yeah, agreed.
Just like in Magic the Gathering, Matt, sometimes you have to hold some cards in your hand and you don't want to play them right away.
Yes, I agree. You don't need to lecture me on magic strategy because I learned from Jimmy Wong himself.
And then what's great, too, is you can do like people are like desperately dumping gold into their pants and cinching the legs off so they look like Michelin men full of gold pieces because they want to go back with as much gold as possible. It's like,
so you're saying they don't all get back into the car? They all just,
I don't know or care about that part yet. We can figure that part out next, like what the expression of it is.
Yeah, but I'm just trying to think of what the final moment of this sequence.
Okay, so essentially what that would be is so we're going to end this week with, oh shit, the alarm goes off, right? Yeah. Next week, the next sequence is their goal is to survive as long as possible while packed with gold until Whiskey pulls them out. That's when you play Whiskey's desperate, zany farce with the bodies and Kevin from Home Alone that ends with him dying, right? So
yes,
like,
yes.
And then the punchline of that whole sequence is that was their goal, was to get Whiskey to pull them out. They cream Whiskey with the car and realize he's dead, right? And now they're fucked and they've been caught. And whether they then just Thelma and Louise into the pits of hell or they get sent into the pits of hell or whatever you're gonna do, that's how that ends.
Okay, yeah, that's great. Then what I would do is you would probably be cross-cutting between, you know, you have brandy, cognac, and tequila are trying to get the money down this well. You know, they're tossing on the bags, it's bouncing off, they're trying to shove it in or whatever. And then you see Jin, who is emotionally overwhelmed. As he's listening to his brother, you know, and then, you know, during all this chaos, you know, probably cognac was like holding on to the cop who's now like stepping backwards without them realizing it. And you're seeing this as the crew is all falling apart. And then, you know, the cop grabs, sets a silent alarm or grabs Tai Shen's whatever holy scepter that sets off a silent alarm, and then everybody looks up and like, oh shit, we're caught.
Yes, and actually the great way to play that is how you do it is that Cognac eventually bonks the cop on the head and she's got her tied up. She hides her in one of those like catering rolly carts.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So she's like scooting around there.
Yeah.
Like you see like a foot stick out, she like kicks it back in or whatever.
That's fun.
As they're freaking out in the background, you see this rolly cart just start moving towards the door.
that's good.
It's like, oh shit, she's getting away. And then she pulls the alarm.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes, very good.
Okay. I feel like we got a handle on it. I feel like this is good, and this feels like a nice chunk for this episode.
Yeah, for sure. I like the next chunk being actually, or the next chunk will end with, like, actually how they get to, or how they decide to, or however they get to help. But, like, the next chunk will actually be this really fun, like, chase with the whiskey cross-cutting seeing Miss Wonderful show up.
Okay, so to walk through it, essentially we're going to start with setting the origami down. They're preparing to burn them. Whiskey comes in late and lies about what's happened. He sets them up. They synchronize their watches and burn the origami. You cut to them jumping onto Wootsie in heaven. They get their gear, you know, they're suiting up, they dive out of the thing. They split up teams. One team goes to set up at the party, passing out cocktails, and oh shit, who's this? It's the traffic cop. Now they're trying to hide and avoid the traffic cop. You set up that there's going to be a toast, and the toast is when that's going to be their window to go to the fucking room.
Oh, by the way, Will, I think that the traffic cop, the reason why she's at the party is because she was holy as shit in
real
life.
Hell yes, she was. Maybe she's the guest of honor.
What you do, Will, is when you see her, you just do a quick flashback of her time on the force, and she was like the most dedicated to praying to Tai Shen and giving him oranges and incense like all the time, had the Tai Shen thing at her desk. It's just like, really, of all the cops, this one is the one who's got to be the one here now.
Very good.
Is the one we like fucking hit. Yeah.
The last flashback is you cut to the very beginning of the movie when Jin throws the orange. You see that Miss Wonderful saw that, and she walks over to the statue and like washes the statue, like glaring at this car driving off.
Oh my God.
Like,
yes.
You
yes.
idiots.
Jin laid it down, and yes. he's the sole
the
source
beginning.
Of it. Yes. So good.
That's very good.
The two little things I was going to say that you could get so far with that. First thing is, during this montage of them burning all the origami or whatnot, they're all going under using crisp, you know, fast cuts of needles and stuff as they go under. You need like that one shot of Miss Wonderful and like her two guys like staring through the window, like eyes wide, like what the hell's going on over there? You know, just to set up that they're watching them.
Yeah,
that's hilarious.
And then whatever the tool that Whiskey makes really badly or whatever, it feels like it should be like the main weapon that they use in like that close quarters combat fight in the Hell's Fargo when the demons, little demons turn into like buff dudes or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like these dorky bolt cutters. Yeah, or now these like dope ass nunchucks or whatever, somehow like just the way they were made, they're terrible bolt cutters.
Yeah,
but
it's just
awesome
comically
weapon.
Oversized, so it takes two of them to use it.
Whiskey's shitty weapon becomes, you know, weapon of fight is very fun.
Yeah
What if it is just a giant stuffed crane? Like, what the fuck is this?
That's funny. Or it could be like a big like metal crane, I don't know, it's like super sharp or whatever.
But yeah, so then you do, they split up, you've got one team, you know, going to heist the bank, the other one setting up. Yes, the complication with the team in the chase is the fight with the goblins, and then they overcome the goblins and are able to get there. They manage to get the traffic cop into the wheelie cart, and then everyone bursts through the door at the very last possible second, and they manage to move all the gold in and dump it right as the brothers sprang, but it doesn't work, and then they get caught.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. That's cooks, dude. That's a super fun sequence.
That's good.
I like
good,
it.
Good, good.
Let's type that bad boy up, and then when we come back, we'll read the dang thing.
That wasn't so scary. I think we might actually finish this movie.
Wow. Yeah.
For a second there, I thought we were just going to keep doing 5-minute
animes.
Long. Yeah. You know, weird micro deconstruction of various anime genre tropes or whatever.
Yeah, we brought it around to a heist movie. What do you know?
Good job, everybody. Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, the scene.
Interior, safe house, day. Epic heist and music plays as our gang places small origami figures into a bowl in front of a prayer shrine. Only this ain't your ordinary offering. It's miniature paper heist gear. Machine guns, motorcycles, gas masks. Everything a good crew needs to pull off the ultimate score. Jin tosses in the last item, an absurdly shitty origami that just looks like a lazily folded piece of paper. What the heck is this supposed to be?
They're bolt cutters.
This is bolt cutters? They look like giant nunchucks.
Hey, I never said I was an artist.
The door swings open and a nervous, flustered Whiskey hurries into the room.
You're late. Where the hell have you been?
Sorry, I got tied up in traffic.
Why are you sweating so much?
I'm a sweaty guy. Get off my case, okay? Sorry.
Enough. Tequila holds up his beeping wristwatch. It's go time. The gang lines up in front of the shrine and clasps their hands together. Tequila strikes a match. To our ancestors.
To fame and fortune.
to kicking ass and taking names, to making it out alive.
Okay, it's not a toast, guys. You'll screw it up. Just... He casts his eyes upwards. Please send this to our loved ones in heaven. And with that, he chucks a match into the bowl, and the origami heist gear begins to burn. Cut to, one by one, Whiskey puts the team members to sleep on their cots. As he does so, he takes a nervous glance out the window. Seeing nothing, he relaxes and resumes the task at hand. But little does he realize, exterior safe house night, POV binoculars, that someone's watching him from across the street. End POV. It is, of course, Miss Wonderful and her hunks. They look to each other in astonishment as Whiskey puts the heist crew into a medically induced coma.
What the hell are they doing?
I think it's time we found out.
She snaps her fingers into her hunks, lock and load their pistols. Exterior, Heaven City Port, day. Whoopsie floats high over the port, lifting the treasure barge beneath her. As the barge rises into the air, Tequila pops up from beneath the huge pile of gold, Scrooge McDuck style. He checks his watch. 30 seconds to the drop site. Gear check. Brandy pops up with two assault rifles in her hands.
Weapons check.
Cognac pops up with two garment bags.
Disguises check.
Tequila holds up a walkie-talkie. Radio 1, check. Jin, come in, over. A beat, no response. Jin? Jin? Worry shoots across the faces of the crew. They root around in the gold, looking for Jin.
Isn't he in charge of our wheels?
Jin! The barge rumbles as it lurches to a halt in midair, then begins to tilt downward. Its gold topples into the bank below. Go, go, go! As the gold begins to plummet, our desperate crew dives off the side of the barge. As they fall through the air, they look back at the shower of gold and treasure falling into the bank and see a delivery van. The logo on the side reads Graham Graham's Dumplings. Zoom out into the air. Jin, cool as a cucumber behind the wheel, leapfrogs the van in midair, guiding it across pieces of falling furniture, sports cars, etc., and guides it away from the bank. As it hurtles towards the ground, Jin triggers a set of parachutes atop the van. It rights itself, then lands gently next to the astonished crew. He unrolls the window, a cigarette dangling from his mouth.
Transportation? Check.
Cocky bastard.
Brandy opens the back doors, revealing a motorcycle inside. She rolls it out as Tequila and Cognac climb into the van. As she gives him a thumbs up and shuts the door, we match cut, too. Interior, Saishen's throne room, day. The doors swing open into Saishen's throne room, packed with opulently dressed revelers and gods, mingling and sipping champagne. A jubilant Saishen poses for selfies with visitors on his throne. Jin, dressed in a tuxedo, serves dumplings on platters to the assorted guests. He gives an anxious glance at the crowd and at the guards posted every 10 feet. He crosses paths with Cognac, also tuxedoed with a dumpling platter in hand.
This place is packed. There's security all over.
Stay frosty. Once the toast begins, we'll have the whole room to ourselves.
Just then, Higgins, Saishen's colossal butler, clanks on a massive champagne glass with his ginormous spoon, which shakes the room with its deafening ring.
Attention all. Saishen's toast commences in the garden in 15 minutes. See you then.
A tinny voice, Brandy, crackles through an earpiece in Cognac's ear.
Team 1, checking in. We've got the wagon in sight. How's the party?
Cognac whispers into a small microphone attached to her lapel.
Copy, Team 1. So far, so good.
As she radios in, Jin approaches a nearby woman with his dumpling platter.
Care for a...
The woman turns around. It's the traffic cop! Jin gasps and turns away as quickly as he can, and bumps straight into Cognac, knocking over both their trays.
Watch where you're going, moron!
Cognac spots the traffic cop, staring right at them, her eyes hardened into a suspicious scowl. Jin and Cognac quickly scoop up their platters and try to hurry away as casually as possible. Jin risks a glance back over his shoulder and sees the traffic cop marching right towards them like the fucking Terminator.
Shit, 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 shit.
Cognac whispers into her lapel again.
Scratch that, we've got a problem.
Exterior, Heaven Streets, day. POV rifle scope. The little goblins yip and yelp as they mush their demon horses. This is a goofy script. As they mush their demon horses on down the road, a huge pile of gold brimming from the Hell's Fargo wagon behind them. Brandy watches them through her scope atop her motorcycle on a nearby hill. She watches as the wagon hurtles towards an overpass. She whispers into her radio.
On my mark, 3, 2, 1.
And right as the wagon vanishes from view under the overpass.
Now.
Exterior, Heaven Streets, beneath overpass, day. The Hell's Fargo wagon zooms under the overpass and skids to a halt as the delivery truck, driven by Tequila, blocks their path. The goblins howl furious oaths at him, then growl. I've been reading a lot of like old-timey books where they say oaths instead of cursing, so that's where that came from.
Oh, I see. Very cool.
Then the growl of a motorcycle draws their attention backwards towards Brandy, skidding to a halt behind them on her bike. She draws her silenced rifle and opens fire, shooting out the wooden wheels of the wagon and busting open the back door. Gold tumbles out. She smirks at the cowering goblins. Then her eyes fill with fear as the goblins snarl and grow to 10 times their size. With vicious, ichor-drenched fangs, they howl at her. Brandy recovers her composure, puts on her war face, howls right back, and charges in guns blazing.
Rip and tear, rip and tear!
Rip and tear, baby! Meanwhile, as the sound of battle fills the overpass, a distraught Tequila just puts his face in his hands. He grabs his radio. Yeah, we've got a problem, too. Interior, Sai Shen's mansion, hallway, day. Two big-ass combat boots step out of the throne room and into the hallway, squeaking on the floor. They belong, of course, to Traffic Cop, whose eyes sweep the empty hallway with a sinister vigilance. She sees the door open to the kitchen at the end of the hall. With the controlled, precise movements of a sci-fi movie android, she stalks down the hall. As she passes two ferns in the hallway, Cognac and Jin leap out and stick a big bag over her head. Before she can even react, they unload on her with a barrage of punches and kicks. At the climax of their flurry of blows, Jin and Cognac each go for a big roundhouse kick, and two arms burst out of the bag, grab their feet, and flip them over onto their butts. The hands unzip the bag zipper, and the traffic cop's head pokes out. Now wearing the bag as a kind of cape tank top vest thing, she scowls down at her opponents.
I don't know how you got into heaven. You know, Will, we could just say Terminator. It's not like old Jimmy C is going to come suing us. I don't know how you got into heaven, but I'm going to put you through hell.
Jin and Cognac give each other a nervous glance, then leap at Traffic Cop, and a two-on-one fight begins. Jin and Cognac are pretty good fighters, but Traffic Cop is a one-woman army. What starts as a pretty standard kung fu brawl turns into a terrifying fight for survival, as Traffic Cop subjects Jin and Cognac to complex grapples, kicks that send them flying, and wild pro-wrestling showstopper slams. Cognac flops back onto a stool, exhausted.
She's too fast. That cop eats lightning and craps thunder.
Jin squirts a water bottle into her mouth like he's her cut doctor in a boxing movie.
Get your head in the game, kid. We let her slip and the whole heist is kaput.
They look up and see the traffic cop dinging a bell on the wall to announce the beginning of round two. She charges at them. Jin and Cognac scream. Exterior, Heaven Streets, beneath overpass, day. Back under the overpass, Brandy throws down against three goblins over twice her size, leaping, diving, rolling between their legs while shooting a rifle and swinging it like a club. As the fracas goes on, Tequila scrambles between the Hell's Fargo wagon and the delivery truck, hauling sacks of gold from one to the other. Just as he carries the wagon's last two sacks into the van, the goblins manage to get a hold of Brandy and throw her at Tequila. Wham! They go tumbling into the van. Tequila rolls in a daze of pain while Brandy scurries to the door and slams it shut before the goblins can get inside. The enraged goblins pound and shake the van from outside, with Tequila and Brandy trapped like rats within. Worry fills Brandy's face as she considers their dire predicament.
We can't take much more of this, boss. I need something to even the odds.
Tequila finds something amidst the scattered sacks of gold in the back seat. His eyes go wide. How about these? Brandy looks down at what he's found, and a bloodthirsty grin fills her face. Exterior, Heaven Streets, beneath overpass, day. Brandy pops out of the sunroof with Jin's giant nunchucks. She lets out a warrior's cry and starts spinning them around like a whirling dervish. The huge nunchuck sticks pummel the goblins to submission, and in a few short moments, they lie unconscious in a heap on the ground. Brandy flourishes the giant chucks like Bruce Lee, then drops down into the van. In the driver's seat, Tequila talks into his radio. Team 2, back en route. And with that, the van burns rubber down the road. Interior, Sai Shen's mansion, hallway, day. The traffic cop pins both Jin and Cognac to the wall and slowly crushes their windpipes. Off in the throne room, another deafening clang rings out as Higgins taps his champagne glass once more.
Attention, honored guests, it is time for the toast. Will you please join Sai Shen in the garden?
Down the hall, the doors to the throne room open. Terror shoots through Jin and Cognac's eyes. Traffic cop grins. Jin and Cognac look to each other and nod. In one swift motion, they each clap one of Traffic Cop's ears with a swift thwack. She drops them and clutches at her head in pain. Jin rushes off to the kitchen and emerges with a large cooler on wheels. He pushes it down the hallway right at the still-dazed Traffic Cop. Cognac raises her fists, crouches into a battle stance, and spin kicks Traffic Cop in the face. She pirouettes in the air, reeling from the blow, and lands in the open wheelie cooler. Jin slams the top down and locks it shut right as the crowd files out of the throne room and passes them in the hall. Jin and Cognac, sweaty and bruised, smile nonchalantly through busted lips at the partiers as they sit on their cooler. Every so often, it bangs and jostles beneath them. Once the partiers file into the garden, they hurry down the hall. Exterior, Sai Shen's mansion, day. The slightly dented van rolls up to the back of the mansion. A beaten and bruised Tequila and Brandy hop out and start unloading bags of gold. The back doors pop open and a beaten and bruised Jin and Cognac emerge with two big rolly carts. The crew reunites as they load up the gold into the carts and react to each other's wounds.
What happened to you guys?
Long story. Interior, Saishen's mansion, throne room, day. The crew rolls four carts brimming with gold into the throne room. Cognac breaks off and heads to the prayer portal. She picks up a staff leaning next to Saishen's throne and taps it next to the portal. It shimmers to life on an image of an old nun praying.
What time does your brother do his morning prayer again?
Jin checks his watch as he steps up to the portal.
If we did our math right, he should be doing it right now.
Cognac taps through the prayers. The portal flickers past images of everyday people praying to the gods.
Stop, that's him.
The image lands on Freddy, tired, still covered in soot from last night's fire, kneeling before an altar to Saishen.
Here we go, get the loot ready.
Tequila and Brandy haul bags filled with gold and jewels over to the portal. Jin watches his brother's face intently.
Dear Saishen, every week I honor you and pray to you for the success of my temple and the hospital of which I volunteer. I pray that you will help us keep our lights on so that we may help the people of this city live in closer harmony with the Tao. But today...
He gets choked up, tears filling his eyes, but he powers through.
Today I have a request of a more personal nature.
The team leans in, arms brimming with loot, ready to drop it through the portal.
Today, I pray for the sake of my brother Kyle.
Jin's jaw drops. The team looks up at him in confusion.
I pray that you help him discover the wealth he already has. The wealth of a family that loves him. A mother and brother who would do anything to make him happy.
Jin is flabbergasted. Behind the crew, way in the background, 2 feet burst out of the bottom of the locked wheelie cooler and scoot towards the door like a Flintstone-style foot-powered car.
I pray that you show him the prosperity that awaits him should he choose to live with peace and kindness in his heart. Thank you, O wise and noble Taishen.
In the portal image, Freddy begins to bow. The crew springs into action. He's wrapping up. Dump the loot! They drop the gold into the portal, but it bounces off the surface. Gasps, etc. all around.
What?
Brandy starts dropping more gold. It keeps bouncing off. Cognac tries to push the gold through, but it won't budge.
No, come on.
I don't get it. Did we do something wrong? Why doesn't it work? Jin, devastated, has the answer.
Because he didn't pray for money.
A tear wells in his eye.
He prayed for me.
Suddenly, an alarm rings in the air. The crew whirls on their feet and sees the traffic cop by an alarm switch on the wall. Footsteps pound down the hallway and the doors burst open. A phalanx of angel guards storms in and stops in their tracks, aghast at the spectacle in front of them. The crew exchanged panicked looks. Run! They grab as much loot as they can carry, throw it onto the food carts, and ram a path through the guards and out into the hall.
All right. Well, it's a heist, everybody.
That
it's a heist
was
scene.
A beast to put together. I was like, oh, this isn't going to take
pages.
Too long. 12 freaking pages of heisting for you guys.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of caper. Did you like my little ad lib where it turns into a boxing movie halfway through? I feel like now that I'm into it.
I think the moment that the car starts to move like that, it's okay. Like, you know what I mean?
That's very Bayonetta.
Yeah, right. Bayonetta, like an animation now. It's like in my head.
Oh, yeah. This
like
is definitely
animation.
An anime now. I think we've fully crossed
Sony
over.
This is Sony or a Pixar.
You know, I feel like it's one of those where the all of the stuff in the real world is live action, and then it turns into an anime when they get to heaven.
Well, but like, you know what it is that car move reminds me of like Lupin, you know, like it's
yeah,
that
oh
they,
yeah, very
they,
much.
They
yeah,
can
yeah,
do,
yeah.
And honestly, like even the boxing beat, this feels like a Lupin beat. Like
yeah,
they
yeah,
can
yeah.
have a little aside, a little out of you know, out of genre aside.
It's very Looney Tunes.
So, guys, I can already hear the questions coming in, and this is definitely a draft 2 point to consider, which is that if they literally can bring a truck into heaven with them, why don't they just load the truck up with gold when it's Why don't they just load the truck up with the gold from Whoopsie? Why do they need to let the Hells Fargo
well,
guys take it?
You just make it so that they only are bringing in like the cool motorcycles or whatever.
Oh,
and the truck
yeah,
is just
probably.
What grandma has.
Or not even motorcycles. Like, I mean, right. If you had to do it realistically or even like more believably, it's just basic tools. And they're also like slipping off before it gets anywhere near the bank where the security guards are or whatnot. Like is a little bit less like overt or whatnot. But, you know, who cares?
Maybe there's like a
right now.
Yeah. Who cares?
Yeah.
That's one to smooth out because you kind of want that rule of cool thing going on. And then like, you know, like it's you want it to be fun and just kind of breezy. But like it might just be that there's something fundamentally faulty with them sneaking in on Whoopsie.
No. Because the original I like it in this because it's very cartoony. But just to clear the original way is they jump off way before the bank and they leap into the enlightenment pond that nobody can see them in. And they definitely can't drop into this little lake with like a van or really large items.
Oh
like,
shit. Yeah. You're kind of right. Yeah.
They're slipping in. Like they're just slipping in. But again, who cares right now? It's very fun. And, we'll iron that stuff out eventually.
Okay.
I definitely thought as like the truck was flying, I was like, oh, well, I guess like somebody would notice that. But you know what? Maybe they're just like, hey, it's heaven. You never know.
Yeah, heaven. Weird stuff happens all the time.
Weird stuff happens all the time.
It doesn't seem like the most OSHA compliant way to put money into a bank to dump it through a hole in the roof from 10,000 feet in the air.
You think the afterlife gives a shit about occupational safety? They're all immortal.
I guess that's true. Fair enough. Touche. We did it. We're through the first pass of the heist, and now we're on to shit just going super south for our boys and girls.
Feels like the momentum's picking up a little bit.
Yeah, man. Finally, after 100 plus pages.
Yeah, how many pages are we right now? Like
we're at 111 pages now.
All right.
Oh my gosh.
This is our Irishman for sure. Yeah, because there's quite a bit left.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. We got some great fan art this week. Thanks to Lockie Patrick, I think is how that's pronounced on Twitter, for sending us a really awesome piece of fan art for our ET2 story break, which is a golden oldie. And so this is this very, very fun Weekend at Bernie's ET mashup poster that is hysterical. So I'll be retweeting that. And you can check that out on our Twitter page, twitter.com/RJStoryBreak.
Also, don't forget, we can also check out our Facebook fan page at bit.ly/StoryBreakFB.
Thanks, as always, to the Maximum Fun Network for having us on their podcast network, which is full of good-ass shows that you can listen to right now. They're doing like they have like a new Max Fun Classics feed, which they're adding stuff to every day.
What?
That's like a bunch of like classic episodes of all your favorite Max Fun shows. I think a couple of Golden Oldie Story Break episodes will be showing up on there.
Episodes on there. Yeah.
It's probably nothing but the Jar Jar episode just played 24/7.
No. There's more good stuff than that.
Now, Matthew.
Now.
And don't forget, you can also, if you are a Max Fun subscriber, you can check out Shark Cops and Trucks, our Max Fun bonus content episode this year, where
our slightly problematic
Max Fun
bonus episode. It was too hot for TV. We actually made it for TV, but it was too hot for it. So it's stuck in podcast form now.
So yes, that's available on your bonus content feed, or you can join the Maximum Fun Network. You can become a supporter over at
MaximumFun.org.
Wherever good podcasts are sold or found or whatever. Stay safe out there, y'all. We love you, and we are so happy and honored to be making fun podcast content for you guys in this crazy time we're living in. I am Will Campos.
I'm Freddie Wong.
And I'm Matt Arnold. And I need to go back and keep redubbing this episode.
Oh, that's right.
That's
really
right.
So if Matt sounded weird this episode, it's because somebody forgot to record his end of the feed. One of the problems, of course, of recording remote. So in order to make sure that you had the pristine listening experience, Matt Arnold has gone through all of his lines and redubbed them.
But maybe Matt will sound even better because like maybe Matt is like a two-take guy. Maybe he needs that first take to find it, and then he can really bring it
out.
Yeah, you know?
Way to find out.
I'm actually doing when I'm redubbing, I listen to what you guys say, and then right before you say it, I go, you know what would be a good idea? And then I say it. So if it sounds like Matt has all the good ideas this episode, now you know why.
All right.
Interesting.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Hey, folks, we thought we'd do something a little bit different this week. Will's going to read a poem. I'm going to set to a little bit of music. The poem is called Maybe All This by Nobel Prize winning Polish poet Wisława Szymborska. So please sit back and enjoy.
Maybe all this. Maybe all this is happening in some lab. Under one lamp by day and billions by night. Maybe we're experimental generations, poured from one vial to the next, shaken in test tubes, not scrutinized by eyes alone, each of us separately plucked up by tweezers in the end? Or maybe it's more like this, no interference. The changes occur on their own according to plan? The graph's needle slowly etches its predictable zigzag? Maybe thus far we aren't of much interest. The control monitors aren't usually plugged in. Only for wars, preferably large ones, for the odd ascent above our clump of Earth, for major migrations from point A to B. Maybe just the opposite. They've got a taste for trivia up there. Look, on the big screen, a little girl is sewing a button on her sleeve. The radar shrieks. The staff comes at a run. What a darling little being, with its tiny heart beating inside it. How sweet its solemn threading of the needle. Someone cries enraptured, "Get the boss! Tell him he's got to see this for himself." Thank you.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.